because Elizabeth was barren and both were advanced in years. Now, while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. And he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God. And I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent, unable to speak, until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them. And they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, and he kept making signs to them and remained mute. Then we go to verse 57. "Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him Zechariah after his father. But his mother answered, 'No, he shall be called John.' And they said to her, 'None of your relatives is called by this name.' And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet, and he wrote, 'His name is John.' And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all their neighbors, and all those things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, 'What then will this child be?' For the land of the Lord was with him. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, 'Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham to grant us, that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. And because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in the darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace.' And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel." 6-year-old Angie and her 4-year-old brother, Joel, were sitting together in church. Joel giggled, he sang, and he talked out loud. Finally, his big sister had had enough. "You're not supposed to talk out loud in church," she said firmly. "Why? Who's going to stop me?" Joel challenged. Angie pointed to the back of the church and said, "See those two men standing by the door? They're hushers." As we come to our third message, in opening our heart's door, it is to silence and song. And church is one good place to begin practicing silence. If you've ever read books by Charles Swindoll, you know he's a tremendous writer as well as preacher. And in the finishing touch, Charles Swindoll wrote, "Serendipity, the dip of the serene into the common responsibilities of life. Serendipity occurs when something beautiful breaks into the monotonous and the mundane. A serendipitous life is marked by surprisability and spontaneity. When we lose our capacity for either, we settle into life's ruts. He, that's God, delights in surprising us. He dots our pilgrimage from earth to heaven with amazing serendipities. Be on the lookout. God may very well be planning a serendipity in your life." Well, it's too bad a certain priest in Jesus' day wasn't able to read Swindoll's book. For when it was Zechariah's turn to pull special temple duty, basically a once-in-a-career job, what he did that day was once in a career. An angel appeared to him, predicting the birth of a son to Elizabeth, his wife. Talk about serendipity. Zechariah was not only frightened, but he had trouble believing that his wife, way beyond childbearing years, could give birth. Also, the child was to be a powerful prophet who would turn many in Israel back to the Lord. So because of his unbelief, the angel said Zechariah would be unable to talk until the child was born. So for 9 long months, Zechariah waited in silence for the realization of God's promise. At the birth of his son, known to us as John the Baptist, Zechariah not only talked again, but pronounced that stirring prophecy that I just read concerning the Messiah whom John would announce. Needless to say, the old priest and his wife were ecstatic. There was a new song in their lives. What the angel predicted came true. Luke 1:14, "You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth." Now, Zechariah was not the only biblical character to experience the serendipity of both silence and song. A man of great authority from Ethiopia, had come to worship at Jerusalem and was returning home. Little did he know that a serendipity was just around the corner. And his story teaches us that life's serendipities are meant to open our heart's door to new levels of blessing. What are the results? Well, turn to Acts chapter 8. And we're going to read it in two parts. Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 26. And the first point we're going to make is this. When we open our heart's door to silence, we understand more clearly. Acts 8:26. "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Rise up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place.' And he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go over and join his chariot.' So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, 'Do you understand what you are reading?' And he said, 'How can I, unless someone guides me?' And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: 'Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth.' And the eunuch said to Philip, 'About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?' Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus." When we open our heart's door to silence, we understand more clearly. So in his chariot, the Ethiopian was meditating silently on the prophecy of Isaiah that you see in verses 27 and 28. And God sent Philip to help him understand what he was reading. You see that in verse 26 and then 29 and 30 when he explains to him. And Philip helped the official see a suffering lamb in the scripture in verses 31 to 33. And then Philip preached Jesus, the Lamb of God, to him. And as he came in his silence to meditate, God granted him more light. God granted him truth. And God granted him an explanation. My friends, amidst the noise of Christmas, in order to have serendipities, we too must carve out times of silence to understand or remind ourselves of Jesus, the season's purpose. Don't let the busyness to take away the opportunity for silence so that God can speak to you. Now in verses 36 to 39, we see the second point, which is when we open our heart's door to faith, our heart opens to song as well. So let's verse 36. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he replied, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. And the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. The Ethiopian confirmed his trust in the Lamb as the Son of God. When he had a chance to be shown what the truth was of what he was studying, he realized who the Lamb was, and he exercised saving trust in him. And then he expressed that in the baptism. And by the way, I think one of the arguments for immersion in water is the fact that this was an oasis in the middle of the desert where water is precious. And they went down into the water and they came out of the water. And you don't go wrecking the water of an oasis unless you have a reason to do that. Anyway, that's just an little aside. He confirmed his trust and was baptized. And then in verse 39, he went on his way rejoicing. He had come to worship, but he left knowing the Savior and rejoicing. Can you imagine the story of Ebenezer Scrooge kind of touching him? At least in his joy, Scrooge exclaimed, "I don't know what to do. I'm as light as a feather. I'm happy as an angel. I'm merry as a schoolboy. I'm giddy as a drunken man. A merry, merry Christmas to everybody. A happy new year to all the world." I can't imagine the rejoicing in the Ethiopian eunuch. He traveled all the way from Africa to Jerusalem to worship and had discovered the truth. That was a transforming experience. Led to rejoicing. My friends, faith opens the door to song. Do you realize that only Christians sing? Hindus chant. Muslims pray. But only Christians sing. It's described that way in Scripture. And faith opens the door to song. This season is about a baby lamb born to die for us. In that truth, we can sing the songs of Christmas with rejoicing hearts. And I hope that you bellow out all those favorite Christmas carols and songs as part of your worship and your response. Silence and song. David and Ruth could hardly drive through the blizzard on their way to the medical research center where David worked. At the center, David disappeared for a moment and returned, holding something white and fluffy. "Oh, David," Ruth squealed, "it's a lamb." As she held the lamb, she noted a bandage and a red stain seeping through. She also noticed that its hind legs were limp and useless. David explained that the lamb's nerves had been severed today for an important experiment that probably make medical history. "What's going to happen to this lamb?" asked Ruth. "He's scheduled to be sacrificed in surgery tomorrow." "Sacrificed?" Ruth retorted angrily. "Hasn't he suffered enough? It's ridiculous to think that one poor lamb can make a difference. Why can't they just leave him alone?" A period of silence followed as David put his arm around Ruth and handed her a bottle to feed the lamb. And as they were both of Jewish heritages, David reminded her that one lamb made a difference to the people centuries before, when each family had to make an offering. Maybe this lamb will make a difference somehow. All this time, the lamb never made a sound, except the eager slurping from the bottle. As they got up to leave, Ruth suddenly remembered her born-again roommate from the previous year. She was always talking about the Lamb of God and how he was silently led to the slaughter. Could it be true, she thought? Was Jesus God's Passover lamb, as her roommate claimed? Looking at David, she said, "David, do you honestly believe that one lamb can make a difference?" After some thought, David replied, "Yes, Ruth. Yes, I believe even one lamb can make a difference." Ruth eventually found Jesus as her sacrificial lamb. Life serendipities are meant to open our hearts to new levels of blessing through silence and song. Make sure you carve both into your Advent experience. Father, will you speak to us as we silence our hearts and our minds and the noise around us to spend time in your word and with you? And then will you equip us by the ministry of your Spirit to sing songs of praise and rejoicing and thanksgiving and proclamation of the things we celebrate this season? This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.